It's taken from the book of Hebrews. Probably to the Hebrews because the recipients were mostly Jews. Jewish converts to Christianity. They were probably, by this time, second, third generation Jewish converts. And the book of Hebrews, I think, is all about the importance of faith. And especially chapter 11 kind of just highlights that. It's all about faith. Faith in God. Faith in the existence of God. And you could say, well, you don't have to tell us about that because why do you think we're here this morning? Yeah, I know. But you know what? It has struck me over the years. I came here as a little kid, right? To this country, I mean. That was at a time when 80% of our fellow citizens went to church regularly every Sunday. Guess what? That has exactly flipped today. It's 80% who don't. So you ask yourself, well, what happened? Can people lose their faith? Well, you're asking the wrong man. Well, maybe not. I mean, I think so. When I see what's happened to church attendance, and to me, I don't know about you, but to me there is a connection, not direct, not a one-on-one, but there is a relation nonetheless between church and being involved in church and going to church and faith. Don't you think so? I think that when people say, well, you don't have to go to church in order to believe in God. No, of course that's true. Duh. But I've discovered that for most people, once they drop church, guess what? They end up dropping faith too. They do. Because you can't somehow do this faith in God thing. This being, you can't do it all by yourself any more than you know that story about the fire, the coals of fire. That they can burn vigorously when you keep them close together, and when you take one out and put it by itself, guess what? Wow, you know, it dies. Well, this book of Hebrews was written to people who the writer figured they're losing it. They're losing it. They're losing their faith in God. They're falling back into old ways, into pre-Christian ways, into maybe Hebrew ways, but maybe even pagan ways. They're losing it. And that's why I think that this book, Hebrews, is so relevant for our times. I think it just speaks to us. It just hits the nail on the head for us. So, having said all that, I'm going to read a story from Genesis 4. I'll read the first 16 verses. And then I'll read a verse from Hebrews 11 where the writer picks that up. So, maybe it'll be on the overhead screen, I don't know, but Genesis 4. Adam lay with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son, to Cain. And she said, with the help of God, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. I don't know how much later. Some say they could even have been twins. I don't know. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil, and in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out into the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, "Well, where's your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "Oh, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence, and I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance 7 times over. And then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. And so Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Then the writer of Hebrews picks that up. By the way, what I was saying in the introduction about faith and God and so on, let me just begin reading with verse 1. But it's actually, especially verse 4, that is the text, but bear with me. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." And then the text, right? "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead." And then I want to read verse 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Dear friends in Christ, I suppose that you have noticed, have you, over the course of the years of your life, you have noticed that people who believe in God, in the Bible's God, people who believe in Jesus, people who are Christians, are more loving and kind and generous and gentle than all other people. You've noticed that, of course. You have noticed that their children are so bright they get all A's in school. And you've noticed that their teeth are so strong they hardly ever have to go to a dentist. And you've noticed, I guess, that their investments never go south and their businesses are always a success. You don't believe me. I don't believe me either, because it ain't true. Okay, I hear you. Actually, it doesn't seem to make much difference does it? Whether you believe in God or not. Whether you trust in Jesus or not. I mean, a loaf of bread is no cheaper. Housing costs just as much. Clothes wear out just as fast. Cars don't last any longer. And actually, there are lots of kind, loving, generous people who are not Christian. And you know what? The bottom line, at some point, we all get sick and we all die. The death rate is 100%. Whether you're a Christian or not. So, I ask you now, so why bother? Why bother with faith and all that stuff? Why bother with God? You would think that having faith in Him would entitle you to happiness and blessing and a good life and all that. Yeah, well, yeah. But if not, why bother? If the cost benefits don't add up positively, or at least equal, why bother? So is that, you think, why people have been dropping out of church? And faith in God? It's not necessarily that people have become hard-nosed atheists, you know. No. You scratch them a little bit and you say, well, you still believe in God? Well, yeah, I still believe in God. These are kind of soft-nosed atheists. They're practical atheists. I mean, in the sense that in the practice of their lives, in the living and the doing of their lives, God really makes no practical difference. Well, says the Hebrews writer, have a look at the story of Cain and Abel. Two boys, brothers, same parents, same upbringing, same home, same environment, both taught to believe in and to worship God and to bring sacrifices to Him. Yet look at how totally different those two brothers turn out. The one became a killer and the other got killed. Couldn't be more different. The difference is so radical, it goes so deep, cuts right through the heart and bone and marrow. Cain. The Bible tells us, means something like, I brought forth a man. You hear the note of exultation and of jubilation in Mama's voice. It's a song of pride and triumph in Eve's voice. Like, I did it with God's help, of course. Cain, in and through you, we, Adam and I, and we, our family, we, the human race, we're going to beat the devil. We're going to beat death. We're going to cancel the consequences of our garden fall. Paradise will be regained. Cain, you the man. Number one, the deserving one, you're going to be our salvation. God's promise of a Savior in our line, it's going to come through you. I know it. Firstborn and privileged. Privileged by his parents in every way. Cain was raised surely with a strong sense of entitlement. He was raised, yeah, to be he of the inflated ego. Cain. Because Compared to him, Abel, his brother, was definitely second. Did this humble fellow, Abel, humble, modest, this servant kind of guy, whose name means breath, like nothing, Abel. Yeah. Actually, when I read the story in the Bible, it strikes me that God liked him better than Cain. Abel was his kind of man. The story illustrates, doesn't it, how distressingly mistaken parents can be about their children. How distressingly mistaken they can be about the way they regard and treat their children and the way in which they teach their children to regard themselves, to look upon themselves, to think of themselves, to be assertive, not to say aggressive, to not let anyone or anything stand in their way of being successful. Go for it, kid! You deserve it. How often do we hear that today? You deserve it. Yeah. Well, God saw Cain and his offering and his expectation of entitlement. And God saw that Cain's offering was not about God. Cain's offering was all about Cain. In fact, everything in Cain's life was all about Cain. Even God was about Cain. God, to him, was important, was helpful, was insofar as God did things for him. Or else, why bother? Why bother making sacrifice? Expect acceptance, approval, blessing from God. You deserve it. Deserve. What a popular word. Deserve. Huh. When it comes to God, what is it exactly that Cain deserves? What is it that you and I, sinners, deserve? The true spirit of sacrifice, you know, the true spirit of sacrifice to God is not about what we deserve, but it's about what we owe to Him. Our love, our life, our devotion, our all. We owe it to Him. It's all about that. Sacrifice in a way is a prayer. It's a prayer that says, God, I do not deserve, but I pray you nonetheless, please bless me. That's sacrifice. Cain had it all wrong. The Genesis story suggests that Abel showed his love for God by offering him from the best of his flocks, the firstborn, the fat, that was just the best. Whereas Cain, not off the top, the way Abel did. No, for Cain, he offered seconds. And you know what? God is not blind, and He's certainly not stupid. He was insulted. He refused to accept it. He refused to accept Cain's seconds. I would think, why wouldn't He refuse to accept our seconds, our leftovers? the leftovers of our time and of our money and of our energy and of our whatever we are, of our love. It's not the leftovers that he wants. Cain, favored son, who had been taught that he was worthy, entitled to the best. Cain was not amused. He was long-faced. He was furious. What? He not accepted and blessed by God while her brother Abel was? Cain didn't get it. Couldn't understand it. Do you get it? Cain, listen, says God. Listen. Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? Why are you so long-faced? If you do well, will you not be blessed? Will you not be accepted if you do not do well? Sin is lurking. It's like an animal at the door of your life, your house, and its desire is for you, sin. But you must master it. You must master it. That's what it says. That God, the Almighty, pleading with his wayward son. Pleading with his self-centered entitlement on the brain son, Cain. Cain, I'm not against you. You got that wrong. You're against me. Repent, turn around before it's too late, before sin destroys you. Well, you know the rest of the story. Cain thinks that it's his brother Abel who's the problem, who's in his way, so get rid of Abel. Sacrifice? He'll make a sacrifice. He makes his brother Abel the sacrifice. He'll do whatever it takes to get what he deserves, to get God's acceptance, God's blessing. Have you ever felt shortchanged? Maybe even by your mom or dad. I don't know. But, you ever felt cheated? You got a raw deal? Not what you deserved from your boss. We all know such feelings. And you know what? Feelings like that can put murder in your mind. None of us are strangers, you and I, to this business of entitlement or to anger or to the long face. Cain is not that far away from any one of us. So, is it really true then that faith makes no difference? I tell you, it made a difference to Cain, didn't it? His attitude, his actions. Faith shows, doesn't it? Shows in the values that drive us. In the priorities which motivate us. In the way we ourselves regard our entitlements. In the way we relate to God or don't. In the way we relate to other people or don't. In the things we expect from Him and others. Faith, you see, is primarily a verb. Faith is primarily not something to sit up here, but it's something to be done, something to be lived, something to be acted on and acted out. That's faith. Cain, he became not so much his parents' blessing and joy as he became his parents' sorrow. Faith Did it make a difference to Abel? Well, it cost him his life, didn't it? Clearly, making an acceptable offering to God does not guarantee in this life that we're just going to have and keep and maintain our life. It obviously not. No guarantees there. No guarantees it will save our life. It can cost you your life. Abel died, and Cain didn't. Go figure. Ah, yes, well, I'm almost done. But I got to tell you this. It ain't over till it's over. Yeah, you got that. It ain't over till it's over. And God never, ever does forget. He remembers innocent blood. His own beloved son also made a sacrifice and made himself a sacrifice. And it cost him his life too. Innocent blood. Yes. God sees and God remembers. He remembers Abel and all who laid down their life for their faith in him, for their love of him. All those God remembers for Jesus' sake. That's the gospel. And if Cain repents, surely, if he turns to the Lord, if he gets covered also with blood, with innocent blood, with the innocent blood of the Lamb, you know what? Then even Cain, the firstborn, the one who thought he was so entitled, will be savingly remembered by God for Jesus' sake. Jesus, who also was a firstborn son of God. Jesus, who was the fulfillment of Cain and the fulfillment of all the hopes and expectations that Adam and Eve, mom and dad, had of Cain. Jesus is the fulfillment. Abel and repentant Cain both remembered and entitled to eternal life. A free gift from God. Amen. Prayer. God, we heard it. Faith does make a difference. It does make a difference whether we make our lives all about me or all about you. Lord, we pray, deliver us from every sense of entitlement that does not connect with you, with your love and your grace, and your generosity. Help us to live our lives in the way of life everlasting. And so we pray, help us to live a little less for me and more for you. Amen.